This is a special WUWM Public Forum Project Milwaukee Youth Violence. I'm Bob Bach, host of Morning Edition on WUWM, along with Lake Effect host Jane Hamden.
We're going to start now talking about the police and their role in the community. I know that Chief Edward Flynn was a guest on Lake Effect. We talked with him at length about his strategies. Mayor Barrett, you're a supporter of Chief Flynn, and I'm going to put this question to you. This is from our audience. Most of my high school students, so must be from a teacher, have no trust in the police. What can be done to reach out to them to turn this attitude around? Is this a direction in which our new police chief is headed?
Well, it is a direction that our new police chief is headed in, and I see in the front row here Captain Harple from the 3rd District, who also I think is extremely active in our community in reaching out into the neighborhoods. There's an understanding in this police department that it needs to earn the trust of the people who live in the city. I think that understanding is there, certainly in the higher ranks of the department, and I think it's filtering throughout the entire department. But it's a two-way street as well. I think that there has to be an understanding from the community that the police are there to maintain safety. And for me, one of the contradictions that is always there is that those neighborhoods where we have the most crime and the most animosity toward the police are also the neighborhoods where the police are needed the most and by many of the residents welcome the most. In all the things that we're dealing with here, it's about relationships. And Victor talked about relationships. Just as it's important to have relationships with young people so that they've got hope in their lives, it's important that the police build relationships. And one of the things that the new chief is doing is he's directed his police officers not to spend as much time as they've spent in their patrol cars, to literally get out of their cars so that there can be an interaction with the citizens of the city, so that you have a closeness that's developed there. We can never hire enough police officers to do all of the work that needs to be done to safeguard our communities, because it's the people who live in a neighborhood who know where the drug houses are, who know where the prostitutes hang out, who know where the gangs are. And if we don't have that trust where they feel that they can call the police and get the response they need, then we're going to continue to have more crime, we're going to continue to have more poverty, we're going to continue to have fewer jobs, and we're going to continue to have more hopelessness.
And as a follow-up, I'd like to direct this audience question to Job Harper or Victor Barnett, perhaps. In the first quarter of 08, violence has gone down at the same time that police have increased patrols in certain neighborhoods. Is this a solution? In other words, Job, more police out on the streets, more police presence in neighborhoods. Does this help? Does this deter anyone from committing a crime they set out to commit on a Friday night?
Well, I definitely think that if you have more police on the streets, you won't have a lot of people just standing on the corners doing what they do. But it goes back to relationships, I think. I think that I wouldn't say that the police should be a little bit more lenient, but I don't know. The police helping the city get back on track, I think, is a little far-fetched as far as getting the mindset to change of people.
Victor Barnett, if I can help, I think it's important, as the mayor said, that as officers come into communities, there are organizations and people in those communities that already have relationships, and it's important that they let the residents know that a friend is coming, you know. I talked to a young man the other day, and he was talking about it, saying, man, police everywhere. So I just had to sit down and talk to him about they are here to help your community be better and all of that. When we finished, he felt better about them being there to help him, not hurt him. So I think it's important that as much as possible they kind of come in with a kind of introduction from somebody that the residents feel comfortable with to kind of put out the red carpet and say, these are our friends coming in, not enemies. And then the second part of that is going to be how they come in. If they come in, you know, hoping to smile and hoping to get to know some of the young people and eventually get a relationship, because like Job said, that's not going to happen. These are young people that have taken years to get to where they have a dislike for adults, period. And an officer is not going to come in and right away get that. So the introduction should be from somebody they trust.
If I could tell a quick, this is Mayor Tom Barrett, a short story. Last summer I was out on an evening patrol with one of our high-intensity units, and we were in a neighborhood where the police made a stop. And there were probably 20 police officers surrounding an individual who was on the street. And naturally, everybody who saw there was something going on came out on their porches. And the politician in me came out, and I thought, well, I'm going to go and talk to these people. And I went in, and I think that they all wanted to know what was going on. And when I explained to them, well, the reason we're doing this is because I want you to be able to sit on your porch on this warm summer night, to a person, they were thankful that that's what was going on. And so a lot of times I think it is how you approach it, that we're there because we want this to be a city where grandmas can sit on their front porches and kids can play in their front yards. There's not a grandma in the world or a kid in the world who doesn't agree with that. And so it's how do you get the message across that we really are in this together. And I know, again, I know it's about building trust, but I think that can be done. And I honestly think it is being done.
I have a question from a student. I'm a 17-year-old student. Some young people are forced to grow up very fast, which makes them perform criminal acts and do things that they should not do in general, like they have no father figures and mom is always at work. And here we're getting into these broad issues, these intangibles that are impossible really for any of us to answer, but we're talking about social problems in our cities. And do any of you who deal with the outcomes of these situations every day have a thought about that? How do you get inside someone's home to try to help?
Let me. This is Lindsay Draper, and I'll quickly let Ramon take over. But I just needed to talk about the response that I used to give as a public defender to someone who said to me, "My parents weren't there, and therefore I had to get in trouble." Is that I think it's important to reject that relatively quickly. Is that is not the only alternative. There are an awful lot of people who grew up without immediate adult supervision who did not get in trouble. That the one thing that in the public defender's office it was important to try and work with young people on is that we have to make sure that people find alternatives. As a community, we try and provide alternatives, but to think that is the natural course for someone who does not have a parent supervising them, I think we have to get rid of that mindset. Ours is not a community of people who will be criminals.
Well, the reality, this is Barb Nodstein. The reality is that regardless of where young people live or the socioeconomic status of their parents, very few young people come from homes where there is a parent around in the afternoon after school to supervise. We do need to have alternatives for youth so that they can engage in constructive activities. You find in any city in this country that between 3 and 6 p.m. crime spikes. It goes down a little bit between 3 and 9 and then drops off very significantly. But whether it's criminal behavior, use of drugs or alcohol, engaging in sexual behavior, it is the after-school period of time when kids do these kinds of things. So we do need positive alternatives for all of our youth.
There are two questions here that are somewhat related. How do any of the support organizations help to promote values versus materialism? Just as poverty is real, so is the importance of the right clothes, shoes, big screen TVs, video games, cars, etc. What about determination, faith, and respect? And here's another question, I believe, from a teacher. So much time, so many resources are focused on adolescents, yet so many adolescents are not interested in adult input during these years when all these other pressures surely are in play. How do we have a stronger impact and influence when children are younger and more hopeful? And there's a note here that says teachers cannot be the sole solution. So here we're talking about values. We're getting right to the core of it. Lindsay Draper.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take this one. And one of the things that I have found most exciting about the last couple of years is I've had the chance to go into a school. I currently go to Kluge Elementary School on Wednesdays and read to a group of third graders. And part of the reason, and I know I've got the chance to do that because I retired and have Wednesday afternoon available to do it. But I think we as a people, you know, part of my reason for wanting to do that was I believe our kids don't see African-American males read. They see us do a lot of things. They don't see us do that real often. And it became important to give them the chance to see somebody, but also to have somebody read with them. There are lots of things that we can do as citizens. And by the way, it gives me the chance to buy some books to take to the school because I know the teacher doesn't get paid enough to buy as much as he or she should be able to do. So I think there are some things that we as a community can do to help. and that we have skills individually that can help build some of the commitment we keep talking about wanting to see the kids do. You know, if we can't read, you know, maybe we can do some carpentry things that we can just demonstrate. And I think schools would be thrilled to have people come in.
I wanted to, this is Ramon Candelaria, I wanted to address the student earlier about being in that situation where you don't have your mother or your father. And we should never have the thought that that is going to determine whether we're successful or not. And sometimes we get caught up with, for lack of a better way of saying it, feeling sorry for people and saying, you know, I understand why you're messing up because your mother wasn't there. And you almost condone it and give them the reason to continue to do that. And because of my own life experience, I was that person. My mother left when I was 17 and graduated last in my class and had every reason to fail. And there were some key people in my life from the Christian Center, Kathy Boyce on up, that never allowed me to think that that was good enough, the reason for me not to be successful. And I was fortunate enough to be called to serve, but attended Harvard and did different things. But it was those key people that interrupted that train of thought. And we have to stop as servants to young people. We can never give them the opportunity to think that that is a reason to fail, because we have many cases, and I don't think we market that enough, many cases where young people without that don't grow up with their parents and have back academics and low-income families, they become successful. But it's that process of linking yourself to the student, linking yourself with someone that has what you want. If you continue to be with people that have what you don't need, you're going to continue to have what you don't need. And us, as successful peoples in their minds, have to find those individuals and give them what we have. And sometimes those of us that become successful move out and choose other career paths. And we have to continue to market bringing them together with those same people with that philosophy. So that student, find that person and stay there. And only someone that has what you want can give it to you.
We are running out of time, and we'll have to wrap things up. I want to thank all of our panelists for their comments. Victor Barnett, Job Harper, Mayor Tom Barrett, thank you for joining us today, along with Barb Notestein, Ramon Candelaria, Lindsay Draper, and Marlene Melzer-Lang. Again, thank you to the audience members for your questions. And I encourage you to check out our website at wuwm.com. Full biographies of all of our participants are there, along with descriptions of the organizations that they represent.
Our Project Milwaukee Forum was engineered by WUWM's Tom May. Many thanks to Tom, also to WUWM staffers Dan Guiley, Noel Scarp-Mohan, Cynthia Akey, Michelle Maternowski, Marge Pitroff, and Mitch Tyke. Discovery World at Pier Wisconsin provided this terrific space, the digital theater, for our conversation.
WUWM listeners showed their enthusiasm for this project from the start. Thanks to everyone who wrote us and joined us today for this forum in our audience. Annalise Hensel is executive producer of Project Milwaukee. All of our Project Milwaukee stories and interviews are archived on our website, along with audio of this discussion, our Project Milwaukee Forum. Also at WUWM.com, as I mentioned, you'll find information about all of our panelists today. I'm Bob Bach, along with Jane Hamden. We thank you for joining us for Project Milwaukee, Youth Violence, a special presentation here on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.
This is Jane Hamden. We'd like to note that our WUWM Forum on Youth Violence in Milwaukee was recorded Tuesday. Yesterday, one of our panelists, Ramon Candelaria, resigned as executive director of the Latino Community Center. He had held that post since 2002. A member of the Community Center's board and Candelaria told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the resignation was a mutual decision.